got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Gay Games and to the thousands of athletes, coaches, family, and spectators from around the world. Since 1982, the Gay Games have given lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender athletes and supporters around the world a chance to come together to compete, celebrate, and inspire others. It's been remarkable to see the games thrive over the years.
The Gay Games is the world's largest sporting and cultural event specifically for LGBTQ+ athletes, artists, and musicians. In 1990, Vancouver held the third Gay Games, where approximately 7,300 athletes took part, and over 1,500 cultural participants attended.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends at UBC and the West Side, like Australian Boot Company, Dentry's Pub, The Bike Kitchen, Limelight Video, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by, as always, the White Noise After Show, this week hosted by myself, and featuring special friend, guest, whatever you want to call him, Connor Neckelpert, who joins me in the studio now. How are you doing, Connor?
Yeah, doing all right, Simon. Thanks for having me this time.
Does. Well, kind of have you here every time, but, you know.
Yeah, I sort of feel like you kind of just have me around just to make you laugh, really. Bit like kind of a cure, little jester.
You don't really make me laugh, but, you know, you're just there, you know. But.
So, if I don't make you laugh, what am I? What am I doing here?
Well, you know, everyone, I don't know. You just turned up and I didn't know how to say go away, so you're still here, but.
Well, in that case, I'll stay.
So it is time for the White Noise Show. And yes, stay tuned afterwards. We're going to be talking about this week, millennials. We're going to talk about the Olympics and Russia. And we're going to play some kick-ass music. But first, we're going to do some comedy. So now it's time for some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Pokemon Go. Just like when you were a kid, except now you have to pay to win. First up tonight, someone is shopping.
Hi, welcome to Val's Vacations, travel agent to the stars. How may I help?
Oh, wow, which stars?
Mainly just the sun.
Oh, so no trips to see Tom Cruise?
I think they can arrange that next door if you speak to one of the more experienced Scientologists.
Oh, well, never mind. What I really want is to book, like, an adventure holiday.
Oh, then I can help you with that. But I will need to see some further information to help. So what level would you say your fitness is?
Oh, well, I think I've got, like, pretty strong forearms.
Oh, yes, I suppose most young men would.
From playing piano?
Yeah, sure, whatever you want to call it. but I need to know if you could handle climbing mountains, traversing waterfalls, and of course, sidestepping hordes of salesmen trying to sell you cheap crap.
I see. Well, when I say adventure holiday, what I really mean is I want to get drunk wearing hiking boots.
Okay, well, how about a week in Myanmar? It's hot, cheap, and hasn't had a civil war in over 9 weeks.
No, I've already seen at least 3 Instagram posts from there this month. It needs to be more original.
Okay. How about a tour around Vietnam on rascal scooters?
Nah, I did that last year.
Fine. Then maybe a week swimming with the dolphins?
Oh, is that like in Florida?
No, it's near Cape Cod in a tuna catching net.
Nah, too close to home.
Okay, well, perhaps a visit to Chernobyl. See the disaster area in full. Take home a souvenir malignant tumor.
Nah, I've already been to 3 Mile Island, and once you've seen one nuclear disaster site, you've realized you've better things to do with your time.
Well, I'm running out of ideas. Perhaps a few weeks in the gulag? You get to help build homes for other less fortunate gulag prisoners, and it includes a complimentary frostbite.
I did the building homes abroad thing when I was 19. I built a new lair for Simon Cowell so he could hatch his larvae.
Fine. Perhaps then a trip sailing the Atlantic from the US to the UK?
Don't be absurd. There is zero cell reception in the middle of the ocean. How am I going to take a selfie?
Then I give up. I don't know what you want.
I just want an original place with cool experiences, cheap food, and lots of cell service.
You could stay in my spare room for $200 a week and a bag of weed.
Deal.
And this, children, was how Airbnb was born.
I like to go on holiday somewhere warm and cheap, so I usually spend a week in my boiler room. Next up tonight is an interview.
Good evening and welcome to Creepy Conversation. I'm Brad Stoker, and tonight I'm joined by special guest and celebrated witch, Milady Maleficarum.
Good evening, Brad.
So please, tell the listeners a little about you.
Well, I just celebrated my 700th birthday, so I've lived through some real change in the world. My first house was made of cow manure and leaves, but it still smelt better than the city I live in now.
Has the world changed for the better?
Well, people have certainly gotten better at killing each other, but most of them also seem to have gone off the idea of it. Less people are going hungry than they used to be, but at the same time, they just find something else to complain about.
So, do you prefer life now?
Well, as a witch, I'm much more exposed now, but I do receive less discrimination. It's been ages since anyone tried to burn me.
Does that actually work?
No. We invented a spell for that the first time we saw Puritans land in North America.
But prejudice against witches predates that.
Sadly, yes. Hence why we moved to North America. The Aboriginals didn't mind us. We just did our own thing. Swapped the occasional bit of Eye of Newt for some peyote.
So, why is it the Abrahamic faiths hold such fear of witches?
Well, it's just ignorance. They never got to know a single witch, so when they hear negative stereotypes from friends and the media, they assume they're true. Sound familiar?
Oh, yes. Just like people who hate Pokemon Go.
Exactly.
But aren't witches naturally a very isolated group who live alone and don't socialize much?
Only because nobody invites us out. I'd love to go see Ghostbusters.
Fair enough. What else do you get up to in the average week?
Well, I'm very busy ruining my neighbour's marriage.
What? Why?
Every week the husband leaves his car blocking my driveway. I can't get my hearse out.
You drive a hearse?
I like the trunk space. You can get a lot of toads in there.
I bet. So, do you have a job?
No. I paid my mortgage centuries ago and I have a decent pension, so I just kill for fun.
You kill?
Frogs, goats, insects mainly, but the occasional bit of human. No one important, I promise.
how can you tell who's important?
When you get to my age, you can tell by how many Twitter followers they have.
And you don't see how this might upset people?
Well, when you stop the drone strikes, come bother me.
There are drone strikes?
Oh, Jesus, I thought you were a journalist.
Hey, I only do mythical creatures and porn stars.
Well, what's that show called?
It's also called Creepy Conversations.
Ah.
Getting back to you, do you think the recent global trend towards secularism might mean the chance for witches to become accepted into societies?
Not on a global level. Perhaps Holland, Canada, possibly Uruguay.
I could see that. Maybe France.
No, they don't like women in hats, apparently.
What about in the United States?
Well, it depends on who gets elected. I can never see Trump doing it, and Hillary will say she'll do it, and then blame Congress for not doing it.
So, will you stay here, or move to Canada?
Oh, I wouldn't go there. Trudeau is a secret witch hater. He famously beheaded Selma the Third in an underground no-holds-barred boxing match. He wasn't even fighting. He was working the bar. The Canadians might legalize it, but the secret police are looking to kill us, just like Justin Bieber.
Well, at least they are doing some good. My last question tonight, what is the best thing about being a witch?
Well, obviously the magic powers, but then who could forget all the free cats?
You get free cats?
Okay, fine. Stolen cats.
Thank you for being here, Milady Maleficarum. Join us next week when I am joined by Margaret Thatcher, Britain's most celebrated hag.
I wish I was a witch. Then I could just walk around in a black moo-moo. Next up tonight, someone is farming.
Damn it, my balls are so blue they might blow. Where's a single girl with low self-esteem when you need one? No, Mary. Oh, please don't tempt me like this. No, it's not just like milking a cow. It's actually almost the opposite. Well, if you insist. Shh, no one can ever know.
Lewin!
Whoa, what's going on?
Lewin! Thank you.
Mary, you're talking.
Yes, you have broken my spell.
Spell? What are you talking about? Actually, how are you talking?
Lewin, listen. Many centuries ago, I was an esteemed aristocrat. But a cunning and jealous sorcerer screwed me over.
A what? An aristocrat? In Wales? Oh, that's not possible.
Lewin! That's beside the point. We were cursed.
Cursed?
To become a sheep for eternity.
That's a long time.
No shit.
But wait, you never talked before. I've known you for 16 years.
Not biblically.
So I've broken the spell?
Mostly.
But you're still a sheep.
Yes.
Not an aristocrat.
No.
So...
the sorcerer accidentally added a back door.
Which I...
yes.
Allowing you to speak.
I can also do simple quantum physics.
Wow.
Kiss me, Lewin.
Kiss you?
It will break the spell entirely.
I'm sorry, Mary. I don't think we're at that stage of our relationship.
But you took me.
Well, it's not really the same, is it?
What?
I mean, you know... you see someone at a party, things get sexy, doesn't mean you want to marry them or anything.
Lewin!
Mary, please, don't make this harder for me than it already is.
I'll marry you, Lewin!
You'll marry me?
Once I return to my true form.
You're joking!
No, You're my Prince Charming.
But I'm no prince.
Nor are you particularly charming.
Oh, I feel like you're using me.
How are those blue balls treating you, Lewin? Don't you want some easy action?
Look, what if I kiss you, but you actually just stay a talking sheep? What then? I'd be a laughingstock.
Do you always treat your lovers this way?
I just don't want to close off all my options, you know? Maybe Susan Boyle will come seeking my hand in marriage.
What?
Could we maybe just start with, like, a friends with benefits thing and see where it goes from there?
Actually, that probably suit me.
Oh, great. Well, I'll go get some condoms.
I've never had sex with a sheep. They would just remind me too much of other previous ex-lovers. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
Neil, it is pissing down.
I noticed.
I'm freezing.
Well, put your clothes back on.
I can't. I sold them for that umbrella.
What umbrella?
Well, it turned out it was made of wood and a gazebo.
Well, where is it?
Over there, still fixed to the ground. Apparently, it's always been a part of the park.
Well, we better get some cash. I'm not staring at your todger all night.
Well, you didn't seem to mind last week.
Yeah, don't let me drink absinthe again.
So what does this place sell?
Money.
So it's a bank?
Nah, it's one of these short-term money lenders.
What's the difference?
Well, payday loan places like rip off the poor people, and banks rip off everyone else.
Oh, I see. Is that why you come here all the time?
Well, not after today, if everything goes according to plan. All you have to do is kick in the door, point a gun at the teller, everyone else shits their respective pants, and does as we say.
Well, what if they don't do as we say?
Trust me, they will. The guy working there is in on it, so nothing's going to go wrong.
Oh, even I know that's not true.
Oh, just shut up, Carl. All right, you ready? Here we go. One, two, three, go! Stick up! Hands in the air!
Don't move, pretty boy!
Carl, what have you done?
He went for his gun!
I was getting my glasses! I couldn't see who you were!
Oh, shit! Oi, Neil, this wasn't part of the plan.
Shut up, Dave. Go get him a towel.
What about the robbery?
Well, you've ruined it now.
We can still make a day of it.
No, the moment's passed. I'm just not in the mood anymore. Do you fancy getting drunk in the park?
All right, but can I please get some clothes? Everyone keeps staring at my todger.
Well, it is massive.
Well, there you go. You do learn something new every day. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood biography in Blackmore, Bee Stings, Beetroot and Bigfoot. This seaside holiday's been the longest 4 days of my life.
But you've enjoyed it, right?
Which bit? The B&B from hell, the 12-mile donkey ride, my mother fornicating with a man called Fred, or the dead body we found?
You're right. It's hard to pick a favourite, isn't it?
Well, it's not over yet either. There is something special I wanted to ask.
What?
Beatrice, we've known each other now for 4 wonderful days, and I was wondering if you would do me the honour...
Oh, no!
...of becoming my 4th wife.
No!
Yes!
No!
Oh, Richard, shut up!
But you're still married to Dad!
Well, that's nothing we can't fix.
I'm married too, technically.
You are?
Well, at least in countries that recognise voodoo ceremonies.
You're both insane, I swear!
Calm down, lad. What's it to you what we do?
What's it to me? You've been living in my house!
No. We'd send you to boarding school.
What? Mum, you can't be serious!
I hadn't really thought about it, but it does make sense.
No, it doesn't! It makes about as much sense as you two getting married!
Oh, then it's settled!
Are you trying to screw me up? This is how kids become Bill Cosby!
Calm down, mate. If you don't like boarding school, we can always try military school.
Oh, one of us is so gonna end up in prison! Tune in next week to find out if my mother ever did marry that bastard. Next up tonight, Dolly Parton is needed.
Good evening, Dolly. Welcome back.
Where's the fat prince and Bono the clown?
That's why we brought you in. We actually don't know. We dropped them off on a 3-day training exercise, and that was 2 weeks ago.
I see. Whereabouts?
Brazil-ish.
Aw, shit. I better pack lunch. And some C4.
Hey, asshole. You still there?
Yeah. A snake ate my right ear, but then luckily a jaguar scared him off.
Did he not eat you?
Yes, he took my most precious parts.
Oh, God.
He took my glasses. They were Oakleys. I even got them on sale.
Ah, quit your wobbling. Ain't 6 days, goddammit. And since falling in this hole, all I can see now is my own asshole.
Better stuck in there than up here where every passing creature treats you like a buffet.
Any idea how many times we can drink our own urine before it's a bad idea?
I think we're gonna find out soon enough. Dolly!
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 No sign of them yet, Lexington.
Well, our sensors picked up traces of gold and bourbon over the next ridge, so keep heading south.
Roger.
No, it's Lexington.
Moron.
Pardon?
Right on.
Who's there? Elvis?
Oh, no. It's just some men with spears. Wait. Oh. So where are we going, guys? Are the spears in my face super necessary? Oh, we're stopping. Okay, can I ask why you're taking my clothes off and now you're rubbing what appears to be a glaze on my... Yep, they're marinating me. Oh, shit. I'm not a missionary.
Oh, then what are you?
A CIA agent.
That's not much better.
Look, I have a present for you.
Oh, what is this?
It's called C4.
C4. Ah, what does it do?
All of you should look at it real close and then you'll see.
I think I get it. Ah, yes, it's for making cups, right?
God damn it, ruin my eyebrows again.
Did you hear that?
Yeah!
Sounds like C4. CIA grade. Yep, packaged a year ago. 3 miles away.
Help! Help!
Help!
Have you got any left? We could set it off.
You really think I've kept C4 in my pocket for a week without blowing it up?
Bono, is that you?
Dolly! Oh, thank God! Help us, we're saved!
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! I knew nothing bad would happen to me!
Dolly, you didn't happen to see my left eye in the trail there anywhere, did you?
I am terrified of losing my eyesight, as apparently many people feel compelled to want to poke my eyes out. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Conan Eckleput, Caitlin Docking, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Conan Eckleput.
Go. That is the White Noise show for another week. I hope you enjoyed that sketch comedy. And I think it is time to play that game again. Which sketch did Connor write this week?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I've been given writing credits the last 2 weeks when I haven't actually written anything.
That's true.
So how do we know slacker. I even wrote anything for this week?
I can vouch for the fact that you wrote something. And anybody
so, okay, so anybody, having listened to the episode, what one do you think it was?
What could it possibly be? Could it be the one about the person who goes into a shop and buys something? Could it be the one
it's probably
about Elvis?
One.
or Blackmore that's written every week by Simon? Or was it the one about the man who fucked a sheep?
I don't know, man. That seems up your alley.
I think...
It kind of goes in with kind of the role reversals you usually do.
Yes, but it was you who wrote the sheep fucker sketch. And role reversal. You wrote a sketch about a Welsh farmer fucking a sheep. That's not role reversal.
He has a name.
Llewellyn.
Let's not castigate him as one of those, like, farmers. Llewellyn is a character, is a person unto himself.
Yes, the fuck sheep, thanks to you.
She was asking for it.
What? What?
She wanted to become an aristocrat again.
Okay. Well, on that note.
but to explain it, though, because some, you know...
Because it needs explaining. It's a really complex...
There are subtleties in writing, and I know we like to do things in a highbrow fashion. So really, to clear the air, though, what it is a bit of a kind of a take on that traditional kind of, you know, princess and prince charming. Prince kisses the princess and suddenly she's woken from the deep sleep or from her delusions, whatever. And it's just taking that kind of very typical sort of mythology that we're used to and very fairy tale and twisting it into something a bit more modern, a bit more realistic almost.
Yeah, because sheep fucking super modern, Connor. That's like all the rage now. I mean...
Well, what I'm saying is it's only just recently broken into popular literature.
What? There's actually a great documentary that was at a film festival my brother put on in the Okanagan about a group who have sex with donkeys because of they've sort of mixed sort of Aboriginal ideas with Christian ideas and the idea of sort of chastity and things like that is very enshrined because of their Christian influence.
But sorry, isn't there a part of the Bible that says I will not cheat on my neighbor's ass?
Maybe. I haven't read it all, I will admit that. But the funny thing was, they tried to put this documentary on, and in Kelowna, which is a bit renowned for being a bit of a Bible town, and the whole festival got shut down because of the donkey sex documentary. So well done there, Joe.
Do you know if
well
the actors actually had to partake, or was it all staged? They have some
it was a documentary.
Did they have some stunt donkeys?
No, it was a documentary. Oh, they went to really? It's somewhere in South America, in Ireland.
I think it's easy these days to say documentary and really mean mockumentary.
Oh, no. This is
actually hardcore.
Well, I don't know if there was penetration, but in the video, but it was.
Well, that is what I'm asking. Though. I mean, we don't need to finish the topic. I was curious to see whether it was staged or not, and you've confirmed that it was not staged.
Okay, all right. I think it's time for some music. We will be back with some discussions besides this, some real topics. But first, here's some music. This is Fossil Cliffs with "Bury Your Heart."
I'm a cosmic flavor in the nebula. Feel your pain.
All right, there you go. That's Wake Island with Never Entirely There, which is off a really cool compilation out of Montreal called Oh Hi Number 2. It's got a bunch of decent Montreal bands on there, so if you get a chance, check it out.
That's a groovy tune.
Yeah. So our first topic for tonight on the White Noise After Show is what's been going on in the lead-up to the Olympics with Russia. So, Connor, would you like to fill us in?
Well, so over the past years, but specifically more, I think the past 6 months, the International Olympic Organization, International Athletics sort of Organization, has really cracked down on substance abuse and doping in athletics, particularly in regards to the Olympics.
Well, it's WADA, isn't it, that's doing the investigation, World Athletic Doping Association.
And so they published a report that said a number of players at the London Olympics were caught using illegal substances. And so far they've gone on to confirm that a number of them were Russian, and that there were, after this report was published, a number, there were serious suggestions that the Russian Olympic entity could be banned from attending in part or as a whole, could be banned from taking part in the Rio Olympics happening in August.
Because they believed it to be sort of state-sanctioned doping.
Because, it had come from, within the bureaucracy and the athletic institutions within Russia, not just necessarily individual athletes. So the threat of these sanctions was very serious. I think just today or yesterday, the Olympic Committee decided not to ban Russian athletes from participating at the Rio Olympics happening in August, and that's pretty controversial because this whole investigation has really cast a dark light on the Olympics, which is historically supposed to have been a real sort of coming together of different athletes from around the world, different sports, and it's really meant to be an honest and genuine competition and always draws loads of crowds and attention.
Yeah, and it's meant to transcend politics and be... It's meant to be, the fact that you could have an Olympics in Berlin in 35, even though there was, even then, a fair amount of unrest, just showed the sort of ability of the Olympics to just put aside politics for the time being. But the thing is, though, when it comes to doping, it is actually very hard these days, even now, for people to be caught. So the fact that this many athletes have been caught is even big. I mean, kind of maybe a smoking gun to how big the problem is, because the way that people dope nowadays is about things like microdosing, so that it's out of your system quicker.
Yeah.
So it's easier to cheat tests. People keep clean blood around, so they can just give blood tests that aren't theirs. The Tour de France is a great example of the amount of systemic blood doping that can go unseen, even under the scrutiny of WADA and USADA and all these other doping associations.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, there is clearly an argument there to be made for the entire Russian Athletics Association being banned, but I do have to sympathize greatly with any athlete who has not been part of that, who is Russian, has trained their entire lives, they're in their prime of their athleticism right now in their lives, they're around,
This could be their only, only shot,
It could be their only shot, or it could be that they've been before, but now, they're experienced and they have a better chance now, so, and even if they will go now, yes, but all of their results, even the clean ones, are going to have asterisks by them, by everybody looking at them going, well, were they doping? Were they not? The same thing happens in something I'm very familiar with, MMA, where a guy gets popped for something, and you start to wonder, did he get popped this week because he's only been doing it this week, or has he been doing it his whole career? And it's suddenly your whole career.
He's a big-looking guy, got big muscles, got to wonder.
Yeah, maybe that's why he's always been good. It happened literally this week with John Jones, who was still is the undefeated champion at light heavyweight. He got popped for 2 estrogen blockers. It's not a great situation for the Russians all around.
No, and it doesn't help the sport, the compilation of sports, the institution of the Olympics, because, Rio at the moment already has encountered a number of issues, which we've talked about on the show before, and loads more that we haven't even touched on. So this only really adds sort of fuel to the tinder that this is going to be a weird Olympics. Like, I always really look forward to the Olympics. It's always great just to have the TV on, watching all these different countries. It doesn't even matter if they're English or if they're Canadian. I just love seeing all these world-class top athletes just going at it, the things that they're passionate about, the sports they love. And it really is a joy just to see where they all fall in and to see how amazing they all are. And this entire Olympics has just, from the beginning, has just fallen apart. And it really is heartbreaking to see as a spectator, and as you've just said, as the athletes who have trained their whole lives, and this is their first or second chance at the Olympics, to go into that with that mentality. Obviously, they get drilled every day how to be the best athlete they can, but with that overshadowing everything, it can't help performance, even regardless of the doping. I mean, just all the stains coming down on this Olympics, and perhaps the doping isn't connected to Rio as much as in general, but it's a real shame. And I can't see Olympics being memorable for it, unfortunately.
Well, I would say that similar concerns were raised before the last World Cup, which was held in Brazil. And that was an even bigger operation than this will be, because that was across 8 or 9 cities as they built stadiums, you know, all over Brazil. One of them was like literally in the Amazon, and
has been gone untouched essentially ever since. Yeah,
but this is at least focused on Rio, and so in theory, the logistics of it shouldn't be any harder than hosting a World Cup. And the Zika virus is something there's nothing they couldn't have predicted that.
It's like terrible luck. Yeah,
there was nothing they really could have done to prevent that. The doping, as you just said, really isn't directly to do with, you know, it's nothing to do with Brazil or Brazilian athletes. It's you know, it's Russia and it's that. And I'm sure there are other countries doping, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is really their fight. You know, the one thing that does worry me, though, is the fact that, yeah, the security and, like, the infrastructure just doesn't seem to be there. But we'll wait and see. Maybe everything's fine. And we always have to take what the news tells us with a pinch of salt, because if it's not bad, it's not a story. You know,
it's true.
Olympics on track, everything fine, doesn't sell a
Athletes
newspaper.
Athletes smiling.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see how it goes. All right, let's play another song. We'll come back. Next up tonight is Victoria Fleet, and this is Mother Ocean. All right, there you go. That was Holy Wave with Wendigo Round or Freaks of Nurture, which I picked up just for that album name.
It's a great album name.
That's a great album name. And, of course, before that was Victoria Fleet with Mother Ocean off Greed LP. Okay, we've got our next topic for tonight, which is related to a sketch we did tonight, which was the one about someone trying to do an adventure holiday.
Oh, that was one of your ones.
Yes, yes.
That's a shame.
And came about because I was reading a news article about a trend in millennials booking more adventurous holidays than the last generation and sort of looking for these sort of perhaps sort of a deeper experience or more original experience in their holidaying. And I wonder whether this is perhaps part of a larger trend within the next generation to have sort of more fulfilling experiences in lives and not being satisfied with just a beach and a bar. But what do you think?
From experience, I can tell you that the beach and the bar are still very popular. The beach, the bar, and the bongs, very, very popular on certain adventure holidays that I've sort of partaken on.
Yeah, I mean, you can still do both. That's like, but the point is, rather than just staying in a 5-star hotel, you get shit-faced on the side of a mountain, climbing with...
Yeah, it's
Sherpas. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's tough to compare. I feel, I mean, so you said you read this article. I can't speak for previous generations. I feel like there is truth to the fact that certainly in the people I speak to, there's a lot of people clamoring, you know, to go on really unique and interesting and memorable experience-based holidays. It's not just vacation. It's not just, yeah, as you said, having a beer at a nice place. It is really about experiencing something. And that's totally, that's great. It's fantastic. I mean, to experience the world in its many different sort of shapes and forms and experiences is certainly from my perspective... You give them one life, make the most of it. So of
right.
course, like...
and there is, of course, a cynic in you that would think, well, maybe it's just about getting the best selfie for their social media. But I think that that is maybe even an opposite thing in that because they've seen people having great experiences through social media, they think, yeah, why am I just sitting on the couch? Maybe I should be doing something more exciting and I'm going to go for it.
So does that raise the question of envy almost? So well, are we more
it's
envious?
Not envy, but inspired. It's inspired in that, you know, you see someone who's had who's lost a bunch of weight and then you think, yeah, I can do that and I can go to the gym. Like, I think it's more that sort of thing rather than just, oh, I hate that person now. They've had a good time.
Well, no, I mean, envy doesn't need to be hate, but yeah, it's just a certain level of trying to get what you don't have. And yeah, inspiration is a very good way to look at it.
Yeah, but that's because you can be cynical about it and just say it's...
And there's truth to both. I mean, you can't know every one person's motivations, and some people want to be with their friends.
And that's
why
we talk about trend
rather
than necessarily, like, yeah, of course...
An entire cultural, like, paradigm shift, yeah.
But it's just even generation to generation, if there is a shift, that's interesting to note. And yeah, I think maybe you could also argue that this is one of the effects of the age of information, the age of the internet. You know, social media aside, just the fact that we are now so much more aware of what's potentially out there.
Yeah, we know what we're missing.
Years ago, if you didn't go anywhere, that was fine. You didn't know what you were missing. But perhaps now even those who haven't traveled as much at least can see and get a sense, some sense of what's out there and are motivated to see it. But I think I'm not just talking about adventure holidays as a say. I'm talking also about a day-to-day sort of feeling of, you know, a necessity to have a more interesting activities every week and do different things. Like years ago, talking to a lot of older people, if they had a job, they would go to the job, go to the pub, you know, play darts, go to, you know, maybe be in a bowling league or something like that. But week to week, like besides their holiday once a year... They, you know, maybe the odd weekend trip. They're not seeking out
those same-ish kind of life experience.
Yeah, it's all kind of on the same wavelength, and this, you know.
I wonder, and then maybe this is just to, not to challenge the idea, but to maybe give some kind of postulation. I wonder if, as we're talking about our generation, this kind of millennial generation, obviously isn't the oldest generation at this point. I wonder if almost, and comparing with most of our peers, obviously we're in university, we're about to leave, we're soon to leave university, but we're sort of that age where we haven't gone out into the real world, like full, I mean, actually, you perhaps have yourself, I haven't, I know.
I went and came back. But.
Exactly, yeah. But, I mean, like, none of us have, we haven't, and a lot of our peers won't have been in that, like, 40-hour strict, like around-the-year kind of work experience. And perhaps that's because work is changing, but also perhaps we're just in a mode in our youth, in our exuberance, in, as you've said, our connections with what is out there, that we're more willing to try these things. But once we become engaged in that more cyclical 40 hours, like 9-to-5 kind of work week, I wonder if people won't start changing, because in a way, they just want the relaxation. They want to be able to go somewhere and just take it easy, because at this point, maybe we're not being challenged enough, maybe. Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think perhaps the lack of other commitments such as children, that there is a trend towards, you know, less people have children and less people having children early, does free up our money and time to do more
and
of
attention.
These things. Yeah. So I'm sure that's a great, it's an excuse a lot of people will use if they did have kids who say, well, I can't do it now. But that's not always the case. Like, I see people, bring kids to Whitecaps games. The kids, like,
and you just kind of wonder why.
Because they're like, we're not going to just give up on doing.
And they've
things
got the uniform
like.
And everything. The
kids
got the
little
uniform.
Kids. He's got his Whitecaps.
It's kind of indoctrination.
Headphones.
It's actually quite disgusting when you think about it. Well, let them choose.
Better than taking him to church, but
or church chicken.
give him a terrible stomach.
I mean, Burger King's really where it's at.
Oh, goodness. The one downtown, that's the best one. If you like watching people being thrown out of doors while you eat, that's a good place to eat.
Guys, take your kids there. But no, I think you make an excellent point. I think kids, as a legitimate sort of excuse or just a get-out-of-it excuse, definitely provide a lot of reason why you would decline the invitation or the ability to be able to go and have a really a genuine adventure-based kind of holiday. You'd rather just maybe take it cheaper and easier just to go to the hotel and spend some nice evenings by the pool or by the beach. It just seems easier, simpler, and more engaging. But there are some people who challenge that. There are some people who challenge that.
And I do, it'd be interesting. Yeah, I mean, it is always person by person. It's very hard to make it. You know, we don't want to make generalizations. It's not the point.
I mean, we do that every week, but we don't mean to.
Yeah, and I try my best to walk away from them and point out the subtleties and balance of the arguments, but it's not always possible.
When you're talking about millennials, it gets difficult.
All right, so we've got a couple of minutes left. Obviously, the other big news story of the week is the DNC, and they've officially announced that Hillary will be running. A lot of Bernie supporters had a big cry and a big rage.
Yep.
But I think over the next month or two, they will start to come around a little bit, I think, to just the reality that it's not going to happen, and then concede. Hillary did become the nominee, as I said she would.
She's broken a milestone in that alone. The first female presidential candidate of either major party in the United States, at the very least.
Yeah, sadly, she didn't even make most of the newspapers this morning. Her Bill Clinton was on the newspapers with the tagline, "Hillary becomes first female nominee," which was... like, come on, newspapers.
Yeah, so they got the wrong Clinton, yeah.
Well, they just, they're like, it's like, you know, we're trying to get away from the perception of bias towards men in the media, and just, like, that. This was a gimme. Just put her bloody face on the freaking thing.
You know, but people don't want to do the obvious, do they?
Yeah. Well, the only argument against it was, well, she wasn't actually at the convention yesterday, but she was there on the Megatron. So you could, or you could just have any of the
any stock photo
images that you have available of her.
It's interesting. I realized recently that on my Facebook wall, because I occasionally peruse Facebook these days to see what's up. A long time ago, and we had this discussion a while back. I had a lot of people on my news feed. Who are very adamant sort of Bernie Sanders supporters, and they were always posting things about Bernie Sanders. And whether it was to do with the cycle of the delegate votes voting per state or not, the amount of politically charged posts I saw on my Facebook have seriously declined in the past couple months. And even now, even today, and now I don't see very many at all. So it's interesting how that... Yeah, maybe people just realized that it wasn't worth it. Perhaps they got caught in this image that Bernie could do it and they wanted to support that. And then they gradually grew to the realization that through the powers that be or just through the delegate votes themselves and the individual motivations of each delegate that they weren't, that Bernie wasn't going to make it. But it's interesting that, yeah, that it was almost, you could argue, almost a bit of a fad for a little bit. And I haven't seen much about that for ages now.
I wouldn't call it a fad.
I don't think fad is the right word.
You're right to mention the sort of cyclical nature of news, because even American Facebook, I think, last year during our election, was full of Trudeau and Harper-related, BuzzFeed and AJ Plus and all those people that post sort of content being passed around. I'm sure there will be an uptick again come October. Things will, it'll get, you'll see a lot more again.
It'll be great to go back and see the people who were super, like, pro-Bernie, super anti-Hillary during this season, and then see what kind of posts they're making when it comes to actual election time, and see if they've magically changed their principles or their tune all of a sudden.
My last thought on that is Coney 2012. All right, that is nearly 10 o'clock. It is nearly time to say goodbye. We're going to leave you with one last song from an artist who was in Vancouver this week, played a kick-ass show Saturday night at the Commodore Ballroom. It is, of course, the Canadian-born Crystal Castles.
Is that his Christian name?
With the new lineup. I forgot what her name is now. She replaced Alice Glass, who was the original girl in it. And she wasn't bad. It's not really a band you go to watch for the singing. So it was good time and lots of strobe lights and jumping around. And
nice.
It was pretty fun. But yeah, we'll leave you with this. This is Crystal Castles with Baptism. Thank you very much for being here this week, Connor.
Of course. I'll probably find my way back into the studio against your wishes next week.
Yeah, I'll have to try and lock it next time. But yeah, all right. We'll see you next week. And it'll be the same time, 9 p.m. We might be doing a clip show next week. I'm not sure because we're struggling to find time to record. But we'll definitely have some content. And of course, the after show, bit of chit chat and good music. So we'll see you then. Good night.